Welcome to a podcast of the Mike Novak Show. Don't forget that you can listen to Mike live on Sundays from 8 to 10 a.m. on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
We take you now to Kermit the Frog at the scene of another fast-breaking news story.
Hi-oh, this is Kermit the Frog speaking to you from the scene of the accident, where Mr. Humpty Dumpty has just fallen off of his wall. And to recapitulate that story, you may remember that Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, and Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all of the king's horses, and all of the king's men, and, wait a minute, that's one of the king's cows back there. Pardon me, cow, I believe it's just supposed to be all the king's horses here. Come on, get out, get out, get out. All the king's horses and all the king's men are indeed trying to put Mr. Humpty Dumpty back together again. And we're going to get a word in with one of the king's horses here right now. Pardon me, horse. Kermit the Frog here, Sesame Street News. Can you tell us just what's happening with Mr. Dumpty over there?
Well, Dumpty's a tough egg.
Yeah, tough
not what
egg,
you'd
yeah.
call hard-boiled or anything.
Hard-boiled,
but
right.
He had a pretty bad fall.
Bad fall, you
yeah,
say?
Yeah, you can see part of him over there.
Yes, that's part. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's another part of him.
Gotcha, another
yeah,
part.
And right there, that's the final part right there. That's the last of him.
Yes, I see.
Yep, well, I got to get back to work, Frog.
Okay, well, thank you. Well, folks, as you can see, it's been a bad break for Mr. Humpty Dumpty, the delicate...
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. And by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by Ecolawn, the ultimate low-maintenance, drought-tolerant lawn. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. Podcasts of this program, along with green tips, valuable links, and DeMaio weather, are a click away at MikeNovak.net. That's MikeNovak.net. If he's a Renaissance man, I'm a Madonna and child with angels. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Okay, that's all the time we have. Good night, everybody. Wow. We got, you can tell it's spring. You can tell it's spring. Not just because we had a couple of days in a row of record-breaking temperatures.
It was gorgeous.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable this week. Now, I will say I'm happy that it went back to relatively normal yesterday and that today is... Today's supposed to be pretty good, too. Rick DeMaio weather, of course, at 8:30, he's going to be telling us. He probably got less sleep than I did because he was on Channel 2 last night.
Oh, boy.
And he had to wait until after the basketball game. Yeah, the Final Four.
Oh.
Because I was sitting getting stuff done for today, and I'm thinking, oh, DeMaio's got to, he's still got to schlep home.
He's still sitting at home.
He's still
in the studio.
In the studio doing this stuff. But he's going to talk to us about the record-breaking temperatures. Speaking, though, as a gardener, I have to say that I'm really happy when it's kind of normal. The 80s, they were great. They were fun. I've never seen plants sprout so quickly in my entire life as they did in 3 days.
I know. There were magnolia blossoms and all sorts. I was driving home, and I was stunned.
Yeah.
Crocuses and daffodils and jonquils. It was gorgeous. I was elated, but at the same token, I was wondering, are you too soon?
Well, there's a little bit of that. Not really. I mean, if as long as it doesn't go on forever. But the 2 days, I'm telling you, well, you talked about Forsythias. All of a sudden, we go from nothing to 60.
Yeah.
And there we are.
Boom.
Zero to 60 in like 3 days. And Forsythias, like, bam! It's just exploding. And my daffodils, not all of them. There's still some slow ones just about to bloom. But a couple of hundred daffodils just kind of went, bam! And, in fact, the problem with the heat is that they don't last that long.
Mm-hmm.
Better if they're in the refrigerator.
Ah.
In fact, I have these lovely, really delicate tulips that they're gone. They're done.
Came and went already?
They came and went.
Wow.
Yeah. They're early ones. And the 3 days, what can I tell you? It was too much for them.
Yeah.
I mean, they were there. They were beautiful for those days. But see, I'd rather have like around 50, 55, something like that. Something nice, nice cool temperatures, 45 at night, just like a refrigerator. Just like sticking the flowers in a refrigerator.
What got me the most was the green hue that's starting on the trees already. Because it's like, you know, when you look down like a road or whatever, you see the tree canopy, and it's been that brown, stickly kind of sort of fade down the road, and now you can see this like green hue covering it. Now that's when it really felt like spring for me, because I could see it for miles, and I was like, oh yes.
Yeah. Well, not only that, you get the green, the tips coming out, the reds, because
mm-hmm.
a lot of leaves come out red. My rose bushes, just the one in front, it was just kind of an and as Rick told me, we chatted the other day on the phone. He says the power of soil temperature, and you just go, wow, you're right.
He's right, yeah.
Because it's not really so much the air temperature as it is the soil temperature and just what that can do. So we'll see what's in store for us this week. Some really fun stuff that you saw the pictures on my website,
yes,
right?
I did. I reposted them on my Facebook this morning.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that. You did Facebook. And by the way, if you're tweeting,
We're up.
You got on Twitter really quick there today.
I will tweet my tweeter off.
Hey, we didn't wish anybody happy Easter.
Well.
What?
We're late. We're just late. It's like, we got other things to talk about. It's spring.
I know it. if you're celebrating Easter, great. If you celebrated Passover, great. I celebrated by bringing in Munchkins today.
It was awesome.
Because I noticed there was no Easter candy here in the studio.
Well,
you have a child, my dear.
I have a candy stash in my desk, but I have to hide it. Otherwise, when I leave
on
Jeff Friday.
From Jeff Chardell?
No. When I leave on Friday, it's the folks that hang out late in the evenings and get here early on the weekends. And I will just find, a trail of chocolate wrappers leading to the kitchen and, something.
That happens in my house, but that's the mice. it's a different story.
So I actually have chocolate, but it's hidden well, mind you. It's hidden very well.
All right, well, you're welcome to the Munchkins. But back to my website, www.mikenowak.net, MikeNowak.net. There's a couple of things that are interesting up there. It's like the good and the bad of insects and what insects do for us and do to us. And the first thing is the good. Amazing photographs, courtesy of the Daily Mail, which is, that's UK, right? The Daily Mail?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. And these photos that were taken by a Polish photographer, woohoo, paisan, baby, Miroslav.
Yeah, good luck with that. I didn't even try. I copied and pasted that bad boy.
I am the worst paisan for you. Zvietek is the last name. Couldn't you have, Mike or Bob? But he took the most amazing photographs of insects in the dew. Now, you wouldn't think of this. I was just talking to Mike Sanders about this. And he says, well, yeah, it makes sense. You'd think the morning comes and there's dew And the insects don't live in houses. They have exoskeletons. That's their house. Although they can find protection.
Yes.
But many of them are just out there on the leaves and on other things. What happens when the dew forms? It forms on the insects. If you want to see some really, really cool pictures, go to my website, and you'll see the insect in the middle of the page there. Click on that, and it'll take you to the article, because there's a bunch more that are just amazing. They look like
I thought it looked like something from another planet. It was so amazing.
And they look like they're jewel encrusted. It looks like they look like brooches. You know, they don't even look real. And that's the cool thing about insects. Are these photos? Wow, they're just. He says he gets up at 3 a.m. Mr. Zietek. Gets up at 3 a.m. to capture the insects while they are less active in a forest near his home in Poland. There are some quotes. You must be very fast taking the photos because the dew quickly disappears. It is very satisfying getting a good shot of an insect, which I have had to hunt out. I have books which help me identify insects, but because they are all covered in dew, I find it almost impossible to know which types they are. And although insects do not sleep in the same sense as humans, they enter a state of torpor. I know some people like that, where they are virtually immobile and much less sensitive to external stimuli, which I would assume would be the dew and the flash bulbs going off around them. And so he searches for the insects using a flashlight and then sets up his camera and his flash right next to them. I'm telling you, if you're listening to this and you have internet access right now, take a look at this. Or if later in the day you can do this, go to MikeNovak.net. I think Kathleen got this story. I'm sure how this happened.
Digital photography, I believe. I mean, the detail is unbelievable.
I guess. Yeah. I don't have all that information here, just the story. Now, the bad thing is an email I got from Todd Jacobson at the Morton Arboretum via Edith Macra, who also works at the Morton Arboretum. And it's a map of where emerald ash borer has spread. This is the latest map in North America. And it gives you an idea, I'm trying to download it here on this computer. Why do the computers in the studio still have Adobe 6.0? You know? I'm at like 17 on my computer.
I don't know.
We're at 6.0, and then it takes a half hour to download.
Do we share the same network as China? I don't know.
If we Google, we can
Google from one address.
We get directed to Hong Kong.
Right.
That's the only way.
I don't know. It's just lots of computers. Whatever works.
Is it ever going to load? No, it's not. So, but the point is, it shows the various places in the United States, in the Midwest mostly, where the emerald ash borer has spread. And here it is. And it's the Cooperative Emerald Ash Borer Project. And there are EAB locations in Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Wisconsin, West Virginia, and, of course, Canada, including Ontario and Quebec. And if you look at this, you can see Ground Zero, which is Detroit. Did you see this map?
Yes, I did.
And how scary is that?
So I would assume it was a port within the Detroit area where it came.
Well, it came in some sort of wood product, obviously, perhaps plant material.
Yeah.
We'll never know.
Yeah.
But the point is, don't transport firewood across state lines. Don't take it from a natural area. You don't know if it's infested. Don't do that. And you can see where it ends up popping up in the populated centers mostly, of course, occasionally elsewhere. But if you look at Chicago, well, that's where people go. They come back to Chicago and they bring the firewood with them and they bring plant material with them and bam. So this is where Emerald Ash Borer is now, and that's the scary part of insects. So you get the good insects, you get the bad insects.
I just like them when they're outside. I'm all live and let live when a bug is outside. When a bug enters my home, it's on.
Oh, believe me, they're there.
Oh, well, right? if I'm conscientious of them, I kill them.
If you don't think that insects are
I heard a statistic somewhere that any time of day, anywhere you are, you're probably about 6 feet away from a spider. Some kind of spider.
But a spider's not an insect, so it's, there.
Ooh.
Ooh. It's an arachnid. Well, la-dee-da.
Yeah.
Oh. Hey, look.
That's why you have the big chair. It's why, folks.
I thought you were going to say it's why I have the big check, but that, no.
No, I said chair.
Chair, right.
I speak the truth.
I know. There are no big checks here.
It's radio. Wake up.
All right. That's right. Second hour, we are going to have Chad Bliss from the Cobb Connection. He's bringing a buddy of his, Justin Kionis. Justin's an intern, works for Cobb Connection. Cobb Connection is working with communities, putting together urban farms in Chicago. Right now, kind of around Humboldt Park. Actually, the station's getting involved. WCPT, Chicago's Progressive Talk. We are hoping on the 22nd of May to broadcast from one of these farms that has been worked and tilled. And, well, not so much tilled. Worked by Cobb Connection. Well, you know, I'll have him come in and I'll explain how he does it. It's pretty down and dirty stuff. No pun intended. You know? And Chad Bliss will explain that. But Cobb Connection is having a big celebration coming up on the 22nd of May. And it's going to be at one of their new farm locations, which is at Kedzie and Franklin in the city of Chicago. And it's something that they're calling Community. And we hope to be part of that celebration. We're hoping to have a special broadcast of the Mike Novak Show. It's a Saturday from perhaps 11 to 1. We're working on it right now. And I hope it all comes together because it could be a lot of fun. And then at the end of the show today, we're going to talk about Tweet Home Chicago. And no, it has nothing to do with Twitter. And that's the problem with Tweet Home Chicago. If you try to find it online, you keep getting directed to Twitter stuff.
Right.
It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
That's why I have the link on my page, on my website, MikeNovak.net, this week. Sarah Abuabsi is going to be here. She's with WRD Environmental, which is a great sponsor on my show, and she's a consultant for the Chicago Department of the Environment. And it's a contest to build birdhouses. And it's the deadline's April 16th, so we'll talk about how you can enter Tweet Home Chicago, and I'm sure there are plenty of valuable prizes. So, and speaking of WRD Environmental, I love it when segues happen like this. These days, more and more businesses are going green, and that's good news, but the growing popularity of green service providers also points to the value of those that have led the way. WRD Environmental is one of them. Since it was formed in 1997, WRD's mission has been to create sustainable landscapes. They have always used locally grown native plants when possible in their design and build projects, used recycled, energy-efficient supplies, and sought nature's balance. Being green has simply been part of their DNA since their founding 13 years ago. Even their location speaks to their commitment. WRD is in the Chicago Center for Green Technology, one of the nation's greenest buildings. Their civic contributions towards sustainability run deep. Staff members are on the boards of a variety of green organizations, and through the years, they have donated their expertise to a number of green nonprofits. They are really good people at WRD Environmental. For experienced, sustainable landscape development, trust the professionals at WRD Environmental on the web, of course, at WRDEnvironmental.com.
Homeowners, why replace your expensive shrubbery every time deer or rabbits visit your property? You can save your plantings for a fraction of the cost with Bob-X. Spring is finally here, and nature's hungry creatures will start feasting on your gardens and landscapes. Stop them the all-natural way with Bob-X repellent sprays. Bob-X guarantees protection for your spring plantings from deer and small animal damage. Use the most effective animal repellents on the market. Bob-X repellents give people the confidence to invest in and enjoy their landscapes. Bob-X's unique deterrent ingredients are all-natural and are environmentally friendly. Bob-X won't wash off in the rain or with regular watering. Get Bob-X at your local independent garden center or hardware store. If they don't have it, ask them to get Bob-X. To learn more about Bob-X, go to bobx.com. That's bobex.com. Plants thrive and survive with Bob-X.
You know, I was just thinking, Heather, that it's Easter and I want to give something away.
So, okay.
And what we're going to do is... Here's the quiz. I've talked on the show for the past several weeks about it when it's time to put down corn gluten meal on your lawn. If you want organic weed prevention, corn gluten meal prevents weed seeds from germinating. It inhibits the germination of those seeds. And I've talked about when the time to do that is. And I said it's when a certain plant blooms. So, 773-838-WCPT, 773-838-9278. What is the plant? When this plant is blooming, it's time to put down your organic weed and feed, your corn gluten meal. Which plant is that? Give me a call. If you've got the answer to that, I'll give you some special prizes. And if somebody tweets it, maybe I'll even throw in something extra.
Okay. Now I got to get typing faster. All right.
Get to work. Now, one of the most important things gardeners need to know is the pH of their soil. Don't panic. It's just a measure of whether your soil is acidic or alkaline. In the immediate Chicago area, we tend to have alkaline soil. That's the reason why it's so difficult to grow blueberries and why your rhododendrons look like sticks with leaves on the end of them. And that's why the Espoma people developed Hollytone, the original acid-loving plant food. Hollytone's blend of natural organics provides a safe, long-lasting feeding. And now, Hollytone contains biotone beneficial microbes for even better growth and color. All-natural Hollytone is low in salts, so it won't burn plant roots and it won't leach out of the soil with the next rain. One application of Hollytone lasts for months and even improves your soil. Hollytone, the number one choice for azaleas, rhododendrons, and other acid-loving plants for over 50 years. For more information about Hollytone and other Espoma products, call 888-ESPOMA1 or visit espoma.com. E-S-P-O-M-A, Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. Well, I was just going to put this up and the machine went to sleep. Let's see if we can wake it up. This is as close to an Easter song as I get. Maybe we'll do one later because I know you brought some in. All right, so if you're interested in winning, let's see, I'll probably send you a $25 gift certificate to SIDS, maybe give you a pass to Cantini Gardens out in Wheaton, a couple other things. Give me a call and let me know what plant needs to be in bloom for you to lay down the corn gluten meal. 773-838-9278. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Oh, do we have a somebody? Okay, let us go to line one and bring in Pam from Mount Prospect. Hello, Pam. You're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
Oh, I'm just great, and I just happened to look out my window a few minutes ago and saw my neighbor's forsythia blooming.
Aha! And what does that have to do with anything?
Well, I remember you saying when the forsythia blooms, that was when you should put down the corn gluten meal.
Yeah, but you know what? I pronounced it forsythia, so I don't think it's...
Well, I'm sure you know how to pronounce it, and I don't.
You know, that's not true. Did you hear me butcher the Polish guy's name earlier? So
no.
Okay, well, you are a winner.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It is, and that's kind of the rule of thumb. When you have forsythia start to pop, that is the time to put down your corn gluten meal. And the way that works is, as I said, it's a product that inhibits seed germination. So it will prevent weed seeds from germinating. Now, you don't put it down on a dandelion that's already there, because that is a plant that's already, it's a broadleaf that's already alive. You're just trying to prevent weed seeds from germinating. But it might prevent more dandelions from germinating in the future. So the idea is you put it down now when the forsythia start to bloom, and man, they just popped all at once, didn't they, this week?
Yeah.
I mean, when you looked out the window, what, 3 days ago, I bet that thing wasn't blooming.
No, not at all.
Yeah. And then you do it again at the end of August, thereabouts. You do it twice a year, and then over time, usually they say like 3 years, you really start to see a huge difference, and it's organic, and it's not throwing bad juju into the water supply. So, and it also
I had heard somebody say it didn't work, but maybe that's because they just didn't do it enough time.
Well, you know, it depends. Yeah, that might have been it, because you do have to do it over a while for it to have a cumulative effect. Our problem in our society is we want things to happen now. We want it this second. And if it doesn't work, we say, well, it didn't work. Well, you know, you got to give it a chance. And I have heard great things from people who use it over the course of several years, and especially doing it twice, because what happens is you get a batch of weeds that want to germinate in the spring, and then you get another batch that want to germinate in the fall. So if you knock them both back, you got a good chance of making things better. So, so Pam, what we're going to do is send you a $25 gift certificate to SIDS. And then we're also going to send you pass to Cantini. What else have we got that we should? If we got, you know what? We're going to pick out a book from the library, from and I mean my library that kind of sits in the back here.
I think you have a very nice one on tulips.
Do we have a nice one on tulips there?
I believe so. I can go dig in if you.
Would you like a book on tulips, Pam?
Sure, that would be great.
As I recall, it's a beautiful hardcover edition with gorgeous photographs in it.
There you go.
Nice coffee table tulip book.
And I'm also going to send you the Morton Arboretum Selecting and Planting Trees book. It's actually a little booklet. Hey, I'm feeling generous today. It's spring. It's beautiful. Things are popping. And you're going to get some goodies.
Well, thank you so much. And happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you.
You're your own gardening Easter bunny, just giving them a basket full of goodies.
You betcha.
Yes. This is the only day a rabbit's allowed in the garden. All the rest of the year you have to call the Bob X folks.
And it has to be a white rabbit.
Yes. Ding, ding.
Not those little brown ones.
Yeah, right. All right, well, hang on, Pam, and Heather will take care of you, and you'll get all the goodies. And thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you.
All right. It's 8:31 on the Mike Novak Show. We'll be talking to Rick DeMaio in just a second. We just crossed over in April, and we're already having a heat wave. So why don't you have your March-April issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine? And that's not a rhetorical question. For one thing, when you get this issue, you also receive the annual Chicagoland Gardening Resource Guide, which has information about garden centers, supplies, arboreta, greenhouses and florists, and landscape design services throughout the region. Do you like tulips? Who doesn't? Then you need to see the story about the best varieties and how to grow them. Then, if I asked the question, got shade, many of you would say, oh yeah. So there's a story about woodland plants that will do great in those shady beds. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine is in newsstands all over the area, but better yet, get a subscription and have it delivered to your home. And if you read my very own column in the back of the magazine, you won't win a prize, but you'll make me happy, and that's worth more than any darn prize, right? Yeah, maybe, you know, maybe I will give you a prize. Who knows? Go to ChicagolandGardening.com, ChicagolandGardening.com, and tell them Mike sent you. And Rick DeMaio is here with our Easter forecast in about 60 seconds. But first, I want you to mark your calendar for next Saturday, April 10th. That's when Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines presents their spring open house. It starts at 10 a.m. with a talk about soils by Warren Johnson from Back to Nature Compost and Chet Rindick, adjunct professor from the College of Lake County Department of Biology and Horticulture. This is going to be a great day of activity at Pesci's in Des Plaines. So at 10 a.m. you've got the soil talk. At 11 a.m. Tracy Walker, who's a certified arborist from the Care of Trees, and you know who those people are, she will discuss site selection, planting, and pruning of trees and shrubs. At 1 o'clock p.m., Lisa Grant from the Dr. Earth Company will discuss the many benefits of probiotic growing and how it can improve the health of all the elements in your garden. And, of course, you're welcome to hang out and just take advantage of Pesci's homegrown plants, including their great selection of vegetables ready to put into the ground right now. I mean, that's a great thing. We've dried up a little bit here. We did get some rain, which was nice the other day. But I think we're at that point where you can actually get this stuff done without worrying about compacting your soil too much. And you can talk to Dr. Wally over at Pesci's, who's not really a doctor, but he's as smart as one. Pesci's in Des Plaines, family-owned since 1924, where you'll find the best selection and prices guaranteed. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines, or visit them online at Pesci's.com. Pesci's, three generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality. It's just, oh, wait. Do you know the words to this?
No, I know I could do it.
Because I figured this was one of William's favorite songs or something.
Oh, it's on our kids' playlist. This one segues right into the Hokey Pokey. Because that is what it's all about.
Oh, I may have to do I've got my version of the Hokey Pokey here. I will play that in a little bit. All right, let's go to line one and bring in a guy who didn't get a whole lot of sleep last night.
How do you know I didn't get a whole lot of sleep last night?
Because I watched you after the basketball game on Channel 2. They made you stick around. Now, when you guys, I've always wondered about this in the newsrooms there.
Right.
Because I know I worked at a station for a long time where there were ball games. And right. Sometimes you're thinking, is this ball game never going to be over? Because I want to go home. Are the news people in the studio like that on a Saturday night especially? It's like,
you're kind of wearing two different masks, Mike. You're there saying, okay, when are we going to go on? When are we going to go on? But we knew we weren't going to go on at 10 o'clock because second game wasn't going to start until about 7:30. And we knew probably about 10:15 we'd be going on. But the first game went a little bit longer, so I think we went on at about 10:35 or 10:40. I kind of lost track after a while. But the worst is when you have a 5 o'clock show, which we knew was going to be preempted because there was two basketball games. The worst is when you have the 5 and you have to actually make it to a certain time that you can have what's called a full show, even though it's collapsed into like 12 and a half minutes.
Yeah.
It was about 6 months ago that something happened and the guy was dribbling down the court, and it was like 10 seconds left on the clock, and they were down by 2, and we're like, we're all in the newsroom going, please miss it, please miss it, please miss it. He throws up this prayer. It rolls around under the rim, goes in. The crowd goes wild, but it's now they're going into overtime. We're like, oh! And then, of course, all the work that we did for about 3 hours, you know, the director basically took the scripts, ripped them up, and threw them in the air, because at that point we knew we weren't going to go on at all.
Oh my goodness!
It was awful. It was really, really awful. And I had a whole bunch of cool weather stuff. I wanted to talk about, and you basically then had to wait until 10 o'clock at that point. So,
see, you got to wait for the cool weather stuff. You got to talk about it on my show, because I know you've only got 90 seconds there when you're on Channel 2. So.
Yeah, no, they actually gave me 3 minutes last night. And it was actually some interesting stuff to talk about from the standpoint of, when was our warmest Easter back in 1977 on April 10th, it was 85 degrees, and back on the 26th of March, 1940, we hit 11, and we had 11 degrees for an overnight low. And there's been some, some big snowstorms. The weird thing about Easter, Mike, it's kind of a floating holiday. You really can't do a climo study of just one date. You have to go back and look at when all the Easters occurred and then do some, historical comparisons. But one thing that Patrick Skatch, who's one of my climate buddies, he and I looked at, this is going to end up being the warmest Easter since 1998, and that's a span of 12 years. So that's some pretty good stuff to talk about, right?
Yeah, and like you say, Easter, yeah, that's a tough one because it's moving around. It's a moving target, and you can't have exactly the same thing at the same time. So.
Right. And as you know, looking out the window this morning, is this not like perfect Easter Sunday weather? I know you're such a religious guy, Mike. You go to church 3 or 4 times a week, even though when you don't have to, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mike was an altar boy growing up.
I was, actually.
Were you?
Oh, my goodness. I was not only was I an altar boy, I'm going to date myself, I learned the Mass in Latin. Boy, did that come in handy.
Well, it helps with your flowers, right?
Because as soon as I learned it, they threw it out. So I think they did it just to mess with me.
Aren't genus species of flower names all in Latin, just like
animals? Yeah, but different kinds of words. We didn't have forsythia there, and of course that's not the Latin word, but
I'll find the Latin word.
Camiciprus nucatensis. No, that wasn't in the Mass when I was an altar boy.
So how about latest for dinner?
How about what?
That's my mother used to always say, you're latest for dinner. Late for dinner.
So, no, that wasn't in there either. we really had a remarkable week. We had 2 days of record-setting temperatures. And before we go on, go back to that page for a second. I just want to, folks who were listening earlier and I did the contest, actually I had somebody tweet me from Connecticut with the correct answer, which was forsythia in bloom, and she said, is that a she? I don't know.
Yes, I believe so, yes.
Yeah. She
was Jones, 71.
Is just about to apply her corn gluten meal today in Connecticut. So how cool is that? Tell you what, tweet her back and tell her that she's getting a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine.
You got it.
Because, I'm not going to give her SIDS because I doubt she's going to get over to SIDS. Or Cantini, but we'll send her a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. So back to those record-setting temperatures. You actually said a week ago, and I'm going to hold you to this.
Oh, brother.
You said we would not hit the record, and yet we did 2 days in a row. Okay, explain yourself, pal.
One day, actually. We just hit the record one day.
That I'm sorry. All right. The record that was set the second day was that we had never had back-to-back 80s this early. Is that it?
Right, but that's not really a record. That's just a climatological statement.
Okay, I'll just bust you for the one day. How's that?
Yeah, you can bust me for the one day. Yeah, on Thursday. Yeah, Thursday we had the record high of 83. Previous record was 82, set back in 1946, and then the next day we hit 81, and the record was 82, set in 1963. So. Those are pretty formidable numbers when you can have 280s this early in the year. It begs the question, what does the rest of the, April weather look like? And part of the reason why, Mike, that I think we got so warm is the ground really dried out fast. We had very, very windy conditions, so the soil dried out. Those first 4 inches were very, very dry. If we would have had a very wet spring, which is what we had last year, a lot of the farmers had a tremendous amount of difficulty getting your crops in. Not only that, but we had snow into like late March and even the first week of April. So the ground temperature has a lot to do with soaking up solar radiation, re-emitting it back into the atmosphere and allowing you to warm up. And we had actually done a pretty good job of drying out that part of the ground prior to the warm-up. There were parts of Iowa, for instance, Mason City hit 86 degrees on Thursday, And about a month before, they had 10 inches of snow on the ground. There was such a dramatic melt-off of snow, one of the more dramatic melt-offs I've ever seen in the Midwest. And there were a couple of really cool National Weather Service offices that had done like a 10-day satellite loop of how fast the snow melted. And that really was a large part to why we were able to warm up. And some of the soil temperatures, you know, we talked about this last week, we're in like the mid-40s. I checked some soil temperatures down to about 4 inches, and we're up already to about 55 to 58 degrees, which is one of the reasons why you get the tulips and the daffodils, and then, like you said, your daffodils bloomed, and the forsythia and the goldenrod. Everything just is, to me, it's almost 2 weeks ahead of schedule from what it was last year at this point.
Yeah, it's stuff just kind of out of the blue, just
out
all
of the ground.
Yeah, out of the ground. I'm trying to remember seeing such a concentrated increase in foliage coming out of dormancy in my life. You know, and it's just all that timing. And like you said, had something to do with the moisture in the soil as well. It just so quick, just amazing stuff to watch. You could see my backyard went from sort of patchy bare a week ago to it looks like a garden
right
today.
Right. Patrick and I ran some numbers. We ended up having the fifth driest March in the history of 137 years of record keeping. And from the numbers that we have had, this was like one of the 10th sunniest Marches as well. So between dryness and also sunshine, that alone got the ground going to a point where it can really absorb some of that sunlight and push it back into the atmosphere. So far, we've had 2 days above 80, even though yesterday we had some rain, and it really wasn't a lot of rain. I was hoping for at least about a half inch. We had 0.2 inch precipitation. I think a lot of that is obviously dried up during the afternoon. We had very, very windy conditions yesterday afternoon. It kind of calmed down overnight. But today we'll make it up to about 71, maybe 72 degrees. I would not be surprised if you get a real fast-moving kind of rain-slash-thunderstorm system move through the area tonight. May get about a half inch of rain. And then I think probably tomorrow afternoon may see a couple of rounds of some thunderstorms that has a warm front, which could produce another half inch of rain. And then I think Tuesday's system, Mike, may actually pass north of us, even though we're looking for some rain out of this. Right now, I think most of the gardeners, you know, they're getting some of their stuff kind of, as you said, uncompacted, the soil that is. Now you want that nice, steady, even rainfall. And I think we'll probably see about a half inch today, maybe a half inch on Monday. So overall, between now and the next 3 or 4 days, I think we're looking pretty good as far as replenishing some of that soil moisture, particularly the top 4 inches.
I'll tell you what, I want to talk a little bit more about that and something else. Did you get that article I sent you, by the way?
Yes, I did. Yes.
All right, I want to talk about that for a second. So hang on, that's Rick DeMaio. We're going to talk about a little controversy among the ranks of meteorologists. It's about climate change. It's actually between meteorologists and climatologists about climate change. We'll get to that in a second. Spring is blooming at Sid's Greenhouses, and right now they have everything you'll need to get your yard and garden in shape. Since there's still a chance of frost for another month or so, plant pansies outside now in garden beds and containers. Pansies are, you know, it's funny. I say there's a chance of frost. And Rick will be the he will agree with me that, you know, just because we had 80s this week doesn't mean we're not going to have.
Oh, it's Chicago. We could have a snowstorm.
I know.
Like in an hour.
So, you know, right plant at the right time of year. Pansies are frost tolerant, and they come in a rainbow of awesome colors. Best of all, this week, jumbo 4-inch pansies. I keep thinking.
I love it when you say that.
Like I did last week.
Uh-huh.
I'm a jumbo 4-inch pansy.
Because you say it's a tough little flower with a bad name.
I'm a tough little flower with a bad name. Actually, Jennifer Brennan wrote to me. She's from the chalet, and she said the reason pansies have a bad rap is because when it gets warm, that's when they wilt. So they can't take the heat. They can take the cold, but they can't take the heat. Anyway, now's the time to start. Did I say that the jumbo 4-inch pansies are half price? You'll get 4 for just $5. And you can start stuff from seed now. This is a great family project. SIDS has everything you'll need. And if you want to have the best lawn on the block, SIDS has all the best brands, including organic fertilizers and weed controls from Jonathan Green. Get to SIDS for your free customized lawn care plan. And I said that was free. And make plans to attend one of their free lawn care seminars next Friday or Saturday, April 9th and 10th. Now, you can check the seminar times at SIDSonline.com. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard.
DR Services Unlimited has been providing Chicago's North Shore with award-winning remodeling and design-build services since 1991, giving their clients top-quality service and real value. They're on the cutting edge of green building technology, helping clients make their home more energy efficient without sacrificing beauty or function. If you want to make your home more energy efficient, simply want to add a room or renovate, call DR Services at 847-998-1687 or visit them at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Are you tired of those pesky moles and voles, not to mention gophers, rabbits, squirrels, skunks, chipmunks, etc., etc.? Disrespecting your lawn or garden? I hate it when critters disrespect my lawn and garden. You need Bonide's All Natural Mole Max. This is a granular product that you put down with your spreader to cover your entire lawn, or use a convenient shaker applicator for your flower or vegetable gardens. It's also available in a liquid hose and spray. Mole Max is safe to apply where kids and pets play and is completely safe for the environment. If you want to see for yourself, you log on to Bonide.com, and I advise you to do this for any product you hear on my show or any other show, and you go to their website, look for the Material Safety Data Sheet. That's the MSDS, which they list for all of their products, and it explains what's in it and where it can be used and where it can't be used, how it should be used. This is important information, and you need to have it. Molemax comes in a 5,000-square-foot bag, 5-pound shaker applicator, or a quart ready-to-spray bottle with a built-in hose and sprayer. And as I said, with any product, read and follow label directions. Molemax can be found at Random Acres Garden Center in Schaumburg, Knuppers in Palatine, and Bukima's Ace Hardware in Wheaton, or go to Bonide.com to find a retailer near you or to see a complete listing of all of Bonide's products. Now, Heather, this is one of yours. How is this Easter?
Because, well, we should have queued it up a little bit more, but there's that chorus where it goes, I am the Eggman.
Oh, right.
It's all about eggs.
You're right. Okay.
And it's a little Alice in Wonderland-y influence, so it segues into the White Rabbit reference, too, if you want to go a little deeper. Take that one, Greg Alexander.
Welcome to a psychedelic Easter on the Mike Novak Show.
Well, you tie-dye eggs. I mean, why not?
You know, it's true. I never thought about that. You tie-dye eggs. The 60s. We can't get rid of the 60s.
They're holy now. Yeah. They have a day. When it was used to be cool to, you know, tie-dye everything in your house and have the big, you know, huge circumference in your living room.
Yeah.
But now you can do it in your Easter basket.
That's amazing. Some things never change. Rick DeMaio is on the line, my meteorologist on the Mike Novak Show, and I saw an article that actually Beth Botts sent to me, which is kind of interesting, about how weathercasters, and that's how they called them, and it's from the New York Times, among weathercasters, reads the headline, doubt on warming. And it goes into the schism between meteorologists and climatologists. Had you heard of this before, Rick?
Yeah, Mike, and part of that came from the American Meteorological Society annual conference, which was down in Atlanta, Georgia. It actually came almost to fisticuffs at a couple of meetings where people were extremely undecided on how to go about this. And, you know, part of it was the fact that we had some very, very cold and snowy weather in North America and also parts of Great Britain. When a lot of people thought that this was going to end up being a very mild, and not so much very mild, but a mild winter due to El Nino, in fact, it was very cold. But yet there's the consensus that global temperatures have been warming enough that this winter probably could have been one of the coldest ever in the last 50 years and actually was not. So in a sense, global warming kept this winter from being colder than it could have been. But in the end, I think what has occurred was the pendulum has kind of slid, or at least not slid, but slipped and kind of swung over too far to the right. Not too far to the right, but too far to one side, where I think everybody was going nuts on the bandwagon of global climate change and not really looking at both sides of the story. And part of that is, look at documentaries like Leo DiCaprio's The 11th Hour, which I've shown my students a bunch of times, and you look at it and you go, wait a minute, he's making it sound like everything that the IPCC said could happen will happen. And that's not science. And after a while, I think certain scientists were becoming advocates as opposed to looking at things objectively and try to come up with some understanding of what could or could not happen. In fact, there was a meeting in Chicago about a month ago, one of my friends, John Davis from Chesapeake Energy, went to, and he was more of a casual observer, sat in the background, and one by one, people stood up and talked about all the things that are going to happen, and there was no if, ands, or buts. It was very deterministic, too much from an advocate standpoint, not enough from a standpoint of, okay, if this doesn't happen in the short run or in the short term, how does that affect our medium term or long term? And I think what's begun to occur is there has been a war of words between people in the weather industry, which is what I do, which is we're on the front lines, and people in the climate industry saying, well, this is what's going to happen. You just have to wait and hold on and see how things occur. Well, that's hard to do when you're on the front line. You're kind of the forebearer of bad information when, you know what, if the temperature is 4 degrees above normal for the month of January, that's a warm month, but all of a sudden if it turns cold and snowy, everybody goes, hey, what happened to all the warm weather we're supposed to have? So it lends, I think, some credence to the discussion of keep science and not making it so much of an advocate form of information. You leave that to other people to do. And I think that's what's begun to happen, is I think we've begun to realize that you have to stick with science, you have to remain objective, and you have to, you can't blur that distinction of a weathercaster or a meteorologist becoming someone who is out there advocating or at least telling people what to do with their environment when you're really supposed to be doing just short-term weather forecasting.
I guess it boils down to something that I played the other week, and it's this.
Science!
Exactly. I don't mean to make light of it, but it is interesting that it's so passionate that, as you said, they almost came to fisticuffs.
That's happened before. And that's also happened with hurricanes and whether we have more hurricanes and tropical storms, and the number of worldwide storms have gone down, but yet you can look at the numbers and say, but the number of Category 5s have gone up in a short amount of time,
Yeah. Not
allowing people in largely populated areas to get enough information. So the debate lingers on, and it's good that we do these things because it makes us realize that, we are scientists, we have information in front of us, and you have to present it in the most clear and objective manner and not try to get politics and advocacy involved. And that's, I think, it does do some good there.
Great. Well, I'll tell you, in your best scientific way, give me your, in 30 seconds, your best TV forecast for this week, including Easter Sunday.
Sunny today, high 71. Rain tonight after 8 o'clock. Mostly cloudy, windy, warm, a couple of showers and thunderstorms tomorrow for the Sox home opener. High 76, 78 during the day on Tuesday with another chance of some rain. And then it looks like it's cloudy and kind of dry and cool. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, no rain. Looks like we may get back into a wet pattern next Tuesday. So typical early April stuff, but it definitely looks like could be a wet White Sox home opener, but probably a dry and cool one for the Cubs tonight.
All righty. Rick DeMaio Weather, you can find him at DeMaioWeather.com. Go to my website and find it. Find all the information there. You can log on to his website. Always great talking to you, and I will talk to you next week.
Yeah, buona Pasqua.
Have a great Easter.
You too.
Bye-bye.
A brief conversation between Ralph the Gardening Master and famed seedsman Jonathan Green. Jonathan, if you could select one achievement in your life that you value most, what would it be?
Well, all of my life I've cared about improving the quality of lawn grasses. My new Black Beauty grass seed may be my most remarkable development yet.
Really? Tell me more.
Black Beauty produces turf with an unusually rich dark green color. It is also very drought tolerant because it has an invisible waxy coating covering the leaves, like that of an apple. This coating holds the moisture inside. Black Beauty gives your lawn endurance for times when watering the lawn is a problem.
Jonathan, your Black Beauty grass seed sounds great.
Pick up Black Beauty grass seed and all other Jonathan Green products at your nearby independent garden center or hardware store.
Visit me at jonathangreen.com for the dealer near you and to view my how-to lawn videos.
And the Jonathan Green people are going to be at these garden centers this weekend to answer your questions all day Friday at Sid's in Palos Hills and Saturday morning at Sid's in Bolingbrook. Saturday afternoon and all day Sunday at Wanamaker's in Downers Grove, and all day Saturday at Alsip Home and Nursery in Frankfort, Illinois, and all day Sunday at Alsip in St. John, Indiana. Now, here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Many insects have become active during the spring, so now's a good time to have a certified arborist inspect your trees and shrubs for unusual pest activity. Keep in mind that I'm talking about unusual pest activity. Insects are all over the place, and most of them don't cause trouble. However, if you have ash trees and suspect emerald ash borer, they don't come out yet, but you can get a certified arborist to take a look if you are worried about them. And they can make a positive identification. With 9 locations, the Care of Trees has been serving Chicagoland for 60 years. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard or you're changing your landscaping, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220, 847-394-4220, the Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. All right, coming up on CNN News at the top of the hour, when we come back, we've got the Cobb Connection in the studio. We're going to talk about urban gardening, what you want to do in the yard right about this time, and I hope you will stick around for that on the Mike Novak Show.
The stupid. That is 45% of the undecideds, John. They are the swingest of the swing voters. And they, as they always do, will decide this election.
And it's a fascinating thing. Now, how do you break down the stupids?
Well, ironically, it's a rather complex demographic. You've got your paste eaters, your numbskulls, your nitwits, your tards. People whose head gets stuck in jars when they eat pickles. That's a surprisingly large component. People who lose arguments to babies. Douche nozzles. Tiger petters.
Now, I don't mean to interrupt. I'm not familiar with all the lingo. Tiger petters.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's people who go into zoos and they pet tigers. Let's push on. People who jump up and down on frozen lakes to check if the ice is strong enough to hold them. Shaved gorillas who've somehow acquired driver's licenses. The voluntarily lobotomized. And finally, Cubs fans.
Cubs fans. What do you think? Now, they're... Cubs fans are considered a subset of the stupid.
Oh, absolutely, John. I mean, they've had 100 years to figure out that what they want will never happen, yet they still yearn for it.
And that is stupid.
Yes, it's very
stupid. Because the Cubs will never win.
No, that's right, John. The Chicago Cubs will never, ever win the World Series.
No, they won't.
They won't do it.
They've made God angry.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
Welcome back to the Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business is people and their love for trees. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. And by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by EcoLawn, the ultimate low-maintenance, drought-tolerant lawn. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. Here he is, Mike Novak.
See, what the Cubs have done is anger the spirit in the sky.
Oh, yeah.
That's why
the
this
baseball
is
gods have been angry with them for years.
Oh, yeah. Just, it's, and you know, working here on the South Side, they like it when I play stuff like that.
I loved that. That was fantastic.
Now, Chad Bliss, pull that microphone over for a second. Cubs fan or Sox fan?
I'll be honest, I'm pretty neutral. I'm not necessarily even a baseball fan, to be honest.
Oh, good. See, I didn't cause any trouble there. Justin, no. Cubs fan, Sox fan?
Well, I'm going to have to say Cubs fan. Sorry.
It's okay.
It's all right.
Cubs fan.
It's all right.
I do intend on though changing my Facebook picture on Monday to Obama wearing his Sox jacket at the All-Star game because the Commander-in-Chief is a White Sox fan. That's awesome.
You know, down this way, you got to be a White Sox fan, you know, here on South Pulaski between Paco's Tacos and Zaca Tacos.
Yes,
it's what you
got
to do.
Well, I got White Sox on, so.
Well, there you go.
I should be okay on the street.
That doesn't count. That's Chad Bliss. He's with an organization called Cobb Connection, and if you're a listener to Our Town, you will have heard him a couple of months ago. You're on talking to Mike Sanders about Cobb Connection. And I know Chad because we've been working with the WCPT staff, getting some stuff together because, you know, CPT is getting on board the urban agriculture train. And Justin Quiñones is also here in the studio. Say hi, Justin.
Hi.
Justin's an intern with Cobb Connection, and you might have seen Justin on Channel 2 the other day. They did a report on Cobb Connection, and I've got the link to it on MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show, and it says Cobb Connection on CBS2, and you'll see the video. Man, you're a rock star. You've come a ways, though, right? Because how long have you been with Cobb Connection now?
Well, it's been already, I guess, say, almost 4 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is just part of turning your life around, really, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's a big part.
Yeah. Give me an example of the kinds of things you did in your past that you're not so proud of.
Wow.
Yeah, that's okay.
I mean, you don't have to go into real detail, you know. You were.
Did you have your photograph and thumbprints ever taken by the man?
Yes.
Okay.
Heather has a way of breaking this down to reality. Yeah, but you know what? So am I. So
I never have.
Well, actually, not the photograph, just the prints.
Right.
Yeah. But
that's all you need to say, though.
Yeah. And how is it that you ended up in Cobb Connection or with the Cobb Connection?
Well, I used to work with this other program that's at the Association House where we meet at. But yeah, there was this program. It was Streets and Sanitation. And my boss there was, you know, that was a little 3-month program, too. That's also for, you know, ex-felons or whatever. And he helped me out with, they helped me out with Chad and started Cobb Connection from there.
Great.
Yeah.
And so what have they had you doing in the 4 months that you've been working with them? Because there's a lot of it is about is farming. You know, urban agriculture. Yeah. Some of it is building with Cobb, which we will talk about, because hence the name Cobb. It's not about corn cobs, folks. It's the other kind of cob, which is the building material.
Yeah.
So what have you done in 4 months?
Well, we went to Michigan in those 4 months. We
why did you go there?
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
What? I was going to say, sounds like fun. Can I come along next time?
Well, we went to Michigan. While we were over there, we went to an apple orchard. They taught us how to graft over there also. Then we went to Michigan.
Grafting apple trees?
Yeah.
That's pretty sophisticated stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody does that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that in preparation for what? You're going to come and do it in Chicago?
Yes. We already have grafted like how many?
75.
Like 75 trees already.
Wow. Where are they growing?
Well, they're growing at one of our sites on Crystal and Kedzie.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Pull that over,
yeah,
Chad.
Yeah, I mean, if I could, I'd like to put Justin in a actually bigger context of what really what it is Cobb Connections' mission is and trying to do. We work with communities focusing and helping to build community food systems. And really what a community food system to us is, we have to look at three things. We have to look at food access and security, making sure people are going to eat tomorrow, making sure that they're going to have food. I mean, once you know you're going to have food tomorrow, it changes everything about how you live this present moment. So we're trying to stock the food pantries and teach people how to grow for self-sufficiency. The second part of this is how we do that. We have a program called We'll Work for Food. So we work with food pantry recipients at the Association House. We teach them how to farm. In return, they get supplemental produce, healthy produce.
Okay,
that
let me stop you because you've had a lot of coffee. Actually, that's just Chad. That's just the way Chad is. He talks very fast.
Yeah,
all right.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah.
What?
I followed every word.
Well, good. I did too, but I wanted to stop because you teach people how to grow their food. Where do they grow it?
They grow it at, we have a couple of farming sites. We actually have three of them. We have one, we've been partnering with a YMCA in Logan Square. It's about 8 city lots. We're growing on Kedzie and Crystal, and that's about 3 city lots. And we're acquiring an additional from the city. It's about 8 to 10 city lots, almost an acre right there.
And that's I mentioned it earlier, that's where we're hoping to do the broadcast of this show on the 22nd of May at this almost an acre, which is, it's interesting. There's, it's Kedzie and basically the train tracks. There's a stop on, which line is that?
It's the Metra.
Yeah, Metra line, yeah. And, I doubt that very many people know that this station, this stop exists, because it's, right now, it's kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
But it's a large area, and I think it would be cool to have people getting off and seeing this farm.
Right.
Seeing what you're doing.
We're working with the Chicago Art Institute, mm-hmm. School of the Art, and they're actually working on designing that stop so that it becomes attractive, so that it does entice people to actually come and see the farm and buy produce with us, because we're going to be having farmers markets from that site this summer as well.
As you said, that's just one of three, and I've seen all of your sites, and so you just put the apple trees. Are they all apple trees or different kinds of fruit trees?
So we grow food, obviously, is one thing.
yes, you do.
A lot of food, and the other part is apple trees. I mean, it's a new program we just started in January. It's part of the stimulus money that we received. It's called Communitree. So our two programs are, we'll work for food with a food pantry, and then the community project where we're working with, and that's where Justin comes in, actually, and which is the second part of the food system, and that is workforce development. So what we do is we work with young adults between the ages of 18 and 22, and we call them interns. So Justin's an intern, and they've been recently incarcerated, recently been out, maybe on parole, and we teach them urban agriculture, food production, harvesting, marketing skills, with food, and we also are now teaching with community tree, expanding to include fruit and nut bearing trees. I mean, and this year we're actually gonna go with there's a top 10 city trees, and we're gonna go with just selling any trees this year, just to get the word out there.
I'm not sure what you mean. You mean you said there's a top 10 city.
Yeah, so the city has this top 10 trees basically that are indigenous to this area that will make it that are. They're pretty viable.
Are these fruit trees or just any kind?
No, these are any kinds, like oak trees.
Okay.
Ginkgo tree is one of them. Red cedar is one of them. So there's these 10 trees that, you know, pretty much will make it no matter what here in the city, and we kind of need that. But we are starting with fruit trees, but that takes time. You know, we want to be able to grow all of our trees here, whether it's from grafting or for seed, to start our own urban tree nursery as well as urban farm. So the 3-year plan, we have to start the seeds now, right? So we're not going to have trees immediately. So what we want to do is just part of the city's climate action change and the Chicago Tree Initiative is just increase the canopy and create awareness in all these communities.
By the way, that's Chad Bliss. He's with Cobb Connection. All the information is on my website, mikenovak.net. Links to Cobb Connection, links to the video that was on Channel 2 this week. Also, Justin Quiñones is here. Am I pronouncing that close enough?
Yeah.
Okay. In the studio. One thing people should, and you're eating an apple, which is appropriate.
Yeah, I can tell you lots of interesting stuff about apples.
Well, and one of the things I think a lot of folks don't know, and I have mentioned it on the show before, is that an apple tree doesn't come true from seed. You have to graft an apple tree to get the apple variety you want. You can't take a Jonathan and plant the seed and get something that looks like a Jonathan. We might, but probably not.
Yeah, exactly. And the reason being, actually, the apple actually came from Kirkmenistan, which is right next to India, between India and Russia, and it migrated everywhere. And so if you plant a seed, within each seed is the genetic code of the millions of apple trees that came before it. And so if you plant, let's say, a Honeycrisp, which is one of my favorite apples.
I love Honeycrisp apples.
And if you plant one of those seeds, then we are grafting some Honeycrisp.
Oh, good. Great.
They're still copyrighted, so we have to pay like $1 for every tree that we sell.
Really?
Okay. Yeah,
so you plant the tree, you do the graft, and then when you sell it, you have to provide Honeycrisp people with $1.
Exactly, for each tree. When you sell them at the farmers markets, yeah. So if we planted an apple seed, you have no idea what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty much just a wild apple if you just plant the seed to a certain extent. I'm fine. That's great. I love wild apples. Never know what you get.
Yeah, but the problem is they could be hard, little hard, round, bitter thing. Yeah, it could be just nasty. You know,
yeah.
It might be great, and you might come up with the new great variety, or chances are it's not the new great variety.
Right, but that's what apple pies are for, man.
Well, that's what apple mash is for, and that's what Johnny Appleseed did. I mean, when and I've told the story before, but if you read Michael Pollan's book, Botany of Desire.
Yeah, that's
Botany
great,
of Desire. He talks about how Johnny Appleseed went around the country. Well, if you understand what Chad just told you about how apples don't come true to seed, you think, well, what was Johnny Appleseed doing? Because all those trees were going to be different. And well, he was spreading the gospel of apple mash. Liquor, baby. And that was
exactly.
It kept America going. You know, we were all soused around the beginning of the 19th century. I mean, it was the drinking in this country had reached epidemic proportions. It's kind of interesting. But at any rate, but the fruit trees that you're selling, are just part of this. And obviously a lot of it is the whole concept of teaching people to garden, and how to raise their own food and strengthen communities in that way. And why is it you're operating in the Humboldt Park area? I probably know the answer to this question, but you tell me, Chad, why you started there?
Well, I mean, there's a myriad of reasons. I mean, one of them is I live in that area. So that's
a good reason, yeah.
That's a really good reason. Second of all, I mean, Humboldt Park has actually one of the highest rates in Chicago of diabetes, cardiovascular disease, heart disease, obesity, crime. I mean,
yeah.
Gangs.
All right. Well, yeah. You know, Justin, I know this because I know in my own block I'm trying to get a community garden started at that corner on my block mainly because of crime.
Yeah.
Because, you know, to just shut it down and give it something where if people are going to show up in the area, I'm thinking that the gangbangers are less likely to be there if you've got families.
I mean,
yes, well, and no?
Yeah, they'll be. Actually, well, it's kind of crazy because, I mean, there's people that pass by, look at us working, mm-hmm. and just wave, and I say nice job, and they're most likely gangbangers.
Cool.
You know, and
that's awesome.
Yeah, you know, and
see, Chad,
it's kind of cool though. I mean, it's a positive thing we're doing, and it's like, you know, I mean,
I guess that's one of the reasons you do this sort of thing is all the positive things that ripple out of it, not just as you said the health factor, but it's the empowerment of the neighborhood, spreading goodwill, you know, the pass it forward kind of mentality,
yeah,
which is,
I mean,
if you're doing good stuff, maybe other people want to do good stuff.
Because if you look at Humboldt Park back then and what it is now, Humboldt Park is really messed up, and there's a lot of stuff that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Still to this day, there's a lot of stuff that goes on. But, I mean, the stuff we're doing now is kind of positive for other people to do also.
Yeah, I mean, and the conversations when people pass by now, they're not about, like, you know, drugs or my son just got shot or something like that. People are coming by going, my, look at those collards. Those are awesome. Can I get some? Hell yeah. You can get as many as you want. You know, so the conversations, the way we talk, the way we think, our behaviors are starting to change. And that's what, for me, urban farming or even Cobb Connections is all about, changing the way we look at each other, changing by changing the way we look at food. mm-hmm. in a more positive aspect.
Again, Chad Bliss from Cobb Connection and intern Justin Quiñones. We're going to get back to that conversation. If you want to join in, you're welcome to call 773-838-9278. It's spring, which means that it's time to think about improving your soil. I know Chad knows that good yep. soil is a secret to everything. It all starts with the soil. Gardeners, a lot of gardeners want to know, what can I get in a bag? Because not everybody's got an opportunity to dump a big load of truckload of compost out there. But what they ask, what can I get in a bag that's going to be good for my soil? Here's an answer. Back to Nature Cotton Burr Compost. The next question is, well, what's cotton burr compost? It's a 100% organic product consisting of composted cotton burrs, a byproduct of the ginning process. Cotton burr compost is a great food source for beneficial soil organisms. Cotton burr compost is feeding the organisms that feed your plants. Here's another thing you're going to like. It's a clay buster. Cotton burr compost is prized for its ability to break up tight clay soils. Now, Warren Johnson from Back to Nature Compost is going to be at Pesci's Open House next Saturday, April 10th at 10 a.m. You probably heard me mention this before. Now, that would be a great time to get over there and ask him questions about compost. Back to Nature Cotton Burr Compost. So that's something you want to take advantage of. You can also find Back to Nature products at The Barn in Cary, also at Gethsemane Garden Center in Chicago, and Meineke Nursery in Niles.
Homeowners, why replace your expensive shrubbery every time deer or rabbits visit your property? You can save your plantings for a fraction of the cost with Bob-X. Spring is finally here, and nature's hungry creatures will start feasting on your gardens and landscapes. Stop them the all-natural way with Bob-X repellent sprays. Bob-X guarantees protection for your spring plantings from deer and small animal damage. Use the most effective animal repellents on the market. Bob-X repellents give people the confidence to invest in and enjoy their landscapes. Bob-X's unique deterrent ingredients are all-natural and are environmentally friendly. Bob-X won't wash off in the rain or with regular watering. Get Bob-X at your local independent garden center or hardware store. If they don't have it, ask them to get Bob-X. To learn more about Bob-X, go to bobx.com. That's bobbex.com. Plants thrive and survive with Bob-X.
Look through those CDs, and one of them is going to say, it's going to say Hokey Pokey. You'll find it, maybe. I got a lot of CDs Heather has got to go through there. Now, if you think that organics are the new kid on the block, consider this. The Espoma Company has been producing high-quality organic and natural products for more than 8 decades, and they just made growing beautiful plants in containers easier and organic. Introducing the new Espoma Organic Potting Mix. Espoma is the maker of Holly Tone, Plant Tone, and other organic plant foods. If the word tone is in the name, you know it's made by Espoma. Now they make container growing mixes. Espoma Organic Potting Mix is a blend of only the finest natural ingredients, and it's fortified with mycotone mycorrhizae. Mycotone promotes root growth and helps grow bigger, better plants with more blooms. Look for all of the new Espoma Organic Potting Mixes at your local garden center this spring. Here's one more. New Espoma Grow Tone, the ideal liquid plant food for all potted plants. For more information about Espoma Natural Gardening Solutions, call 888-ESPOMA-1 or visit espoma.com. That's ESPOMA.com. Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. Wow, we are rocking here in the studio.
Are we?
Oh boy.
Woo!
You find that
my tail's all cottony and in a flutter.
Oh, stop it. It's the Mike Novak Show in Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. I swore I wouldn't play Easter songs, and what am I doing? I'm playing Easter songs. So that's because...
It's Easter.
It's Easter, and Heather brought them in, you know? If I had to do the work myself, it wouldn't have happened.
It justifies the song's existence. It only gets to be enjoyed one day a year.
You know you're
unlike
right.
Christmas, which has a season.
That's true.
You don't hear them, taking off your easy listening channel to throw in Peter Cottontail.
It's like the whole month of April will be playing
exactly.
Peter Cottontail.
Exactly. So you got to,
I like that, the easy listening station, they got to do this. It's like, and so what would you do for 4th of July? You'd be
right.
playing John Philip Sousa for the whole month of
John Mellencamp.
Yeah. Yikes. Chad Bliss is here in the studio, and Justin Quiones, and they're with Cobb Connection. And you wanted to make a comment about compost, because, I was talking about compost during the break. Pull that mic over, because I know you've got, when you garden, when you farm, you know about compost, right?
Yeah, and I feel somewhat an ethical responsibility just to tell the listeners that you do have to be careful when... without naming any names, when it's advertised as organic, any material actually, we need to really, really become educated consumers. Organic, for example, doesn't necessarily mean the organic of naturalness that you and I might think it. You know, an orange peel decomposing, that's natural, that's organic. But organic started out as this chemical process, so it's taking polymers and chemicals and, all these atoms and breaking them apart and reassembling them, and that's what... some people call organic chemistry when you were in high school. So it's, it depends what you want as far as what you think organic means. So that was just something I think we
got on your little soapbox there. And
yeah.
Well, but for a lot of people, organic on a personal level is, as you said, the orange peel, the grass clippings, the vegetable scraps. The plant material from their yards, I throw them in my compost pile, and I watch them break down. That's organic.
Oh, yeah. Worms, man. And worms are the cat's meow. Ugh.
They are the best. I want to talk about a little bit about your process at Cobb Connection, because I went out to see your farms. And you really, you like it nice and simple, because you'll see urban... farms, and some of them have the timbers that they use, the raised beds, and it's all nice and really sharp edges. You like just kind of laying down cardboard and throwing some compost on it, have a mound and plant right into it, and let's go.
Oh, heck yeah. Same thing with equipment. We got a shovel. We got a shovel and a rake. That's our modern technology.
Uh-huh. Well, and... it's out of necessity, I would assume, or is just the easiest way to do it? I mean, you're as I said, down and dirty. Why this process? Why do you go this route?
Well, I mean, for us, so we're trying to move away from, like, monocrops. Monocrops are very susceptible to disease, to pests. A monocrop by one pest could be wiped out just like that. So what we try to focus on is what I would call... some people can call it permaculture, but I call it intercrop management, integrated crop management, where we focus on planting multiple crops in the same bed. And so when you work with a mound, you have different. You can put in spinach or lettuce on the outside because the soil is a lot more shallow. In the middle, you can put a tomato or an eggplant because the soil is a lot deeper, like a foot in the middle. So you can do different kinds of plantings. You can plant flowers on the side because they don't need as much soil or what. So what you're doing basically is you're just taking this one piece of land, one piece of soil, and you're combining combining beneficials like flowers. You're combining repellents like basil that repel bugs, all in one piece of land. So this the main crop of tomatoes or eggplants, for example, are completely protected, and you don't have to do anything. You're pretty much working with nature. So that's why I like the raised the mounds that we use.
Because you just plant them all. You can and I've seen in what you say you do. You don't plant just in the center. You plant on the sides as well, because folks, I'm sure they wonder, well, if you just have a raised mound, isn't the soil going to run off when it rains?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. And what's fascinating about this method, too, is that let's say we have an eggplant or tomato. Those are huge leafy plants, right? And so they might cover the whole mound. And the mound's about 3 feet wide, 1 foot wide in the middle, and towards the edges, probably about maybe three, four inches. So you can plant lettuce, you can plant spinach on the sides that are more shade tolerant. They don't need a lot of sun. So you're just having multiple crops right there. And the more you can look at multiple crops. And we also, I know I'm talking fast, I'm sorry. I'm very passionate. I see it all in my mind, and I'm even planting in my mind right now.
And you want to get it out before it goes away, right?
Right, exactly. But part of our mission is to, we have to look at, the third part of the food system that I was getting at earlier was creating businesses, local businesses, micro enterprises. So we also have to figure out, okay, what are food that we can grow in bulk for the food pantry, for food security? What are the crops that we can grow as far as that are edible and actually make cash crops out of? So, like, this mound method is perfect because you're mixing, like, really, like, expensive, like arugula, for example. Like, restaurants pay a lot of money for arugula, and it's a short little green, and that can grow on the outside. And then you got, like, mass, whether it's potatoes.
When you
or
say on the outside, again, it's on the outside
the
of the berm that you're creating.
Yeah,
exactly.
And then it
has a shallow root system as well?
Exactly, because it's a shallow root system, plus it's shade tolerant, you know, and so if you plant it with nightshade or any eggplants or tomatoes, you know, and there's lots of shade, obviously. So it's a perfect combination. Basil, you can plant basil on the outside. That can be shade tolerant, and that repels bugs. You know, so, and there's all these really wonderful, you know, methods.
So, okay, now I got to turn this over back to Justin, because how much of this do you know? I mean, when he goes off like this, do you have to take notes to remember what he said?
Pretty much.
have you done any planting aside from the grafting of the trees?
Oh, yes.
Have you guys put in right so far?
We put in cabbage. We put in lettuce, arugula. We put in chard.
And it was all from seed?
Yeah, all from seeds.
Now, does this involve just the interns, or do you bring in community volunteers as well?
I mean, we definitely have community volunteers. I mean, we're trying to figure that out right now, just because we are workforce development, so we have interns, and we teach people, and it's a year-long program. So, but yeah, we have people coming in all the time who want to volunteer.
Well, because you want to give back to the community as well.
Exactly.
You're growing it in the community, and it's on city land, right?
So one lot is. I mean, there's three different kinds. One's privately owned, the other city owned, the other is a nonprofit owned.
And that illustrates the difficulties you have working in the city, is that you have all these different kinds of plots, like the one in my block. I'm trying to get it privately owned, and it's got trees on it that they're junk trees and they need to be taken down.
Right.
The alderman came out the other day, and I said, we got to get rid of this. He says, well, you know, it's private property. I'm like, oh, you mean I got to figure out a way to get rid of the trees, too? You run into all kinds of difficulties that way.
There is, and just even with privately owned, you never know year to year. Like, for example, we have land we've been growing, I mentioned, at the YMCA. Well, on April 10th, you know, we have to get a bobcat and a truck because they're going to be expanding their programs, you know, so they need that space. So now we got to move that whole, all of that soil and compost all the way over to another site.
Wait. The one you showed me at the YMCA?
Yeah.
You've got to move that whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, but it's
built. But you already had it. It was across the street to begin with, and now you moved it there, and now you got to move it again?
Yeah. I mean, that's something we just, you know.
Those things happen, huh?
Yeah. That's.
But at least they're still giving you space to use, right? So is the new space much smaller than the one you were using? Or?
It's not. I mean, I think we can. We weren't growing as intensive at the YMCA as we could have. We could grow just as much. Like last year, we had this. The Kedzie and Crystal lot was about three city lots. We had three times as much harvest as the YMCA, even though that had the land was three times more.
At the YMCA.
Yeah, so there's, I mean, it's
tricky. You're right, and you can grow intensively in the city. That's one of the things, or any place, you can grow intensively.
Yeah, but, I mean, land's not necessarily the problem getting it, again, so we've actually acquired three more city lots, and so we're going to move all the Y over to these other, or not city lots, I'm sorry, privately owned lots, right next to the Kedzie and Crystal lot, which I think is a lot better, actually. You know, we're really working residentially right there in that area in the heart of Humboldt Park.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, you're not. Actually, it is more residential in that area than, say, your new one at Kedzie and Franklin.
Right.
But that's near the tracks there, and and that's an area that's a little more blighted and it's lost a lot more homes. It's just
definitely boarded up. It's there's
but the one at Crystal and Kedzie, a lot of folks live there. It's just a humble park community.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. What I'm finding fascinating compared to last year, we just acquired that lot last year, and we started doing.
You didn't have a hoop house on it, which I saw, and you were able to grow greens in the dead of winter.
Yeah, we were. We had some chard, we had arugula, and we had some kale growing in the middle of winter.
I mean, that's the thing that people don't understand sometimes it's really not rocket science. It's basically a hoop house. It's plastic over a frame, and you can grow all year round.
Yeah, definitely. And anyone could make one for the backyard, whether it's a season extender or whatever. I mean, at our fundraiser we're going to have on May 22nd, we're actually going to be giving three workshops, and one of them is how to start your own backyard garden.
Let's talk about that real quickly before I let you go. You've got this, it's the community workshop day. What are we calling the event? I think I got it here someplace, but you're going to have people at the garden at Kedzie and Franklin. Mm-hmm. How much of it will have been completed at that point? What do you hope to have done by that point?
I mean, we definitely have to go in phases. We go in phases also because you have to think about there's spring harvest, cool weather harvest, there's summer hot weather harvest, and then there's fall harvest, and so you have to plan accordingly, like almost rotating crops or rotating pieces of land in order to make that work.
Right. And that's the thing that happens. That you right now is the time for cool crops, but you get another chance in the fall.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
You start planting in September or even late August, depending on what.
Yeah,
crop.
The crop is. I mean, we're already thinking in June. We're already putting in pumpkins. We're already putting in broccoli and cauliflower just as seeds, just to get ready for the fall.
Yeah.
So it's. I mean, there is some planning that definitely needs to take place, but I mean, those workshops, if you do sign up,
So
they
you said you're going to have three workshops.
Yeah.
One is going to teach you how to garden in your own backyard.
Uh-huh.
What are the other two?
And the other one is tree planting.
Of course.
How to plant trees, right, because that's part of it. And the other is a cob building workshop.
And that brings us full circle because I mentioned this at the beginning, and that's one thing we haven't really touched on at all is the cob building. Now, Justin, have you done any of the cob building at this point? Not yet, huh?
Not really. Not yet.
But you've seen the stuff that they've built from Cobb. All right.
Yeah.
So, Chad, you got to explain what Cobb is.
So, Cobb, originally Cobb Connection, before it even began as food or as trees or anything like that, it started out as Cobb is a natural building material. It consists of clay, sand, and straw. It's similar to adobe, rammed earth. We also do straw bale. And so you take the clay, sand, and straw, and you mix it together. You can do it with your feet. We do after-school programs, and I prefer having the kids mix it with their feet, get really get back to your roots of touching the earth. But then after that is this malleable substance, and you can make anything out of it. It's beautiful. You can make houses, benches, tables, gazebos. I mean, because the building codes, we can't do houses here, but
Justin's here. He's laughing because you've heard this spiel before, right?
I don't know. Have you? Or is it just my energy that I'm giving off? It's so beautiful.
It's just the energy, yeah. I've seen some of the stuff you constructed from Cobb.
Yeah, it's really, really beautiful. It's like giant sculptures, but with function and form. And originally it was for community building activities because it brings everybody together. It's like Amish barn raising. That's how we kind of had developed these community-based projects. So we also do straw bale construction where we put Cobb around it. But so it looked at housing. Now we looked at food, and now we looked at trees. All is community resources that we can rebuild ourselves.
Yeah. Well, it sounds great stuff. I'm hoping that we can work together. You're supposed to let me know when you're doing that work over at the Y, because that's like four blocks from where I live.
It is. April 10th is going to be a work day. Anyone out there has a truck that they can loan us? That would be wonderful.
All right. If you have a truck that you can help with, get a hold of me, and I will make sure the Chad knows about it. Just give Justin the microphone just for a second before we get out of here.
Take it from me.
Yeah, really.
Are we almost done?
Yeah, we're almost done.
No!
Yes.
I want to become a radio DJ.
Justin, congratulations to you. I'm glad that you're involved in this, and And I wish you luck, and especially get him to slow down. No coffee for this man, okay?
I don't drink coffee.
He doesn't even drink coffee. This
Red
is
Bull.
Skill.
Red Bull.
No,
it's pure energy.
Can I say one more thing before?
Yes, you can. One more thing. Pull that mic over.
So, I mean, just so y'all know, our goal for 2010 is to plant 1,000 trees. And with those 1,000 trees, we're going to sell 320 of them, but then we're going to give away about 680 of them. So we really need your support in maybe purchasing trees, or if a community orders 10 or more trees, we will go out and we will do a community planting day with you. We'll have a celebration. We'll give you tree planting demonstrations, workshops, and plant the trees.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big spearhead for us, and so we could use all the support, whether it's ordering the trees or even, you know, donations or anything like that. But it's a really good cause that you would be contributing to.
Yeah, they are 501c3, and it is a great cause, and you're going to be hearing more about that. So, Justin, thank you for coming down.
Thank you, too. Glad to be here.
Chad, we'll see if we can get you some DJ lessons.
Okay.
there's no money in this biz, I'm telling you. It's like growing food. There's no money.
Yeah, all right? I'm used to that.
Yeah, see? Well, there you go. You fit right in. All right. Chad, listen. Justin Quiñones from Cobb Connection. Here's Wally's tip of the week, brought to you by Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. If you're considering new planting beds or amending existing beds, well, you know, compost is always a great thing. There's many kinds of compost. One of the things that Wally likes, in fact, he was the guy who introduced me to Back to Nature's Cottonburg compost. But there's also Back to Nature flower bed conditioner, which Wally recommends. Back to Nature Cottonburg products break down clay and add nutrients. Bedding plants grow fast, bloom frequently, and require a good amount of water. And those things remove nutrients from the soil. Back to Nature flower bed conditioner is a blend of fine screen cotton burrs, cattle manure, cottonseed meal, feather meal, alfalfa meal, and sulfur. It's specifically formulated to get the maximum vitality in bloom from flowering plants. Now, next Saturday, April 10th, and I guess that's where I might be working over at the Cobb Connection. But Back to Nature folks will be at Pesci's to answer your questions. Of course, Wally will be there too. Pesci's is in Des Plaines. It's family owned since 1924, where you'll find the best selection and prices guaranteed. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines, or visit them online at Pesci's.com. Pesci's, three generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality.
DR Services Unlimited has been providing Chicago's North Shore with award-winning remodeling and design-build services since 1991, giving their clients top quality service and real value. They're on the cutting edge of green building technology, helping clients make their home more energy efficient without sacrificing beauty or function. If you want to make your home more energy efficient, simply want to add a room or renovate, call DR Services at 847-998-1687 or visit them at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. It's spring, and if you're thinking about mulching under your trees, here are some things to keep in mind. Many suitable materials are available, including barks and compost, but among the most cost-effective and convenient are the shredded brush and wood chips provided by the Care of Trees. Organic mulches, like wood chips. See, when I say mulch under a tree, I don't mean that white rock stuff. Don't do that. But wood chips provide many benefits. They retain soil moisture, cool soil temperatures in the summer, and warm winter soils. They also improve soil structure and restore nutrient levels. Just remember, never, ever pile mulch up against the trunk of your tree. That's called volcano mulching, and believe it or not, it can kill your tree. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. We were talking about the hokey pokey. Okay. This is what I call a real hokey pokey.
You put your whole self in. You put your whole self out. put your self in, and you shake it.
That's my awesome friend, Catherine Gallagher. She just sings so pretty. And I wish, you know, and then she goes and moves to California. You know, what are you going to do? So, not much I can do about that. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Let us go to line one and bring in Sarah Abu Absi. How are you, Sarah?
I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
Okay, good morning to you. Now, Sarah is with my great friends, WRD Environmental, and she's a consultant for the Chicago Department of the Environment. And one of the things you got going on right now is Tweet Home Chicago.
That's right.
And one of the things we found out, somebody called in a few weeks ago and let us know about, I mean, I knew about it beforehand, but said, hey, you got to tell your listeners about Tweet Home Chicago. And we were trying to track down the website quickly while we were on the air at that point. And you type in Tweet Home Chicago and everything that comes up is going to be like Twitter. You know, it's really hard to wade through all that stuff. So I have the link to Tweet Home Chicago on my website, MikeNovak.net, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show. And it's a design and build birdhouses contest, right?
Yep, that's right.
Why are you guys doing this?
Well, we want to basically help more people learn about birds and what a great place Chicago is for birds and how they can help to make it even more of a bird-friendly city. And we chose this competition to help make the habitat connection for people.
Mm-hmm.
There have been some other birdhouse design and build competitions, but this one is a little bit different because it brings in the habitat connection. And one of the judging criteria, besides functionality and resourcefulness and aesthetics, is site suitability. And we want people to think about a certain place in Chicago that their birdhouse will work.
Oh, see, and that's kind of the difference there, is that you're not just building a house and then get it mass-produced and throw it off the assembly line. It's you're going to build a house, and this is where I want to put it, and this is why, right?
Right, right. And not the birdhouses won't necessarily go in that place, but we want people to be thinking about it.
Right.
And be thinking about all the green spaces in Chicago that can serve as good places for birds.
Uh-huh. And the deadline for the design is April 16th.
That's actually just for registration.
Oh, just registration.
Yep. And so people have a little bit longer to actually build the houses. April 29th through May 1st,
mm-hmm.
We will be accepting the houses at the Chicago Center for Green Technology.
So you just need to get your, say, I've got this design, here it is, and once you do that, then you have till May 1st to get it in.
Yep.
And if you go online to the Tweet Home Chicago competition site, and I got the link there, there are 8 bird species that you're considering, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they are house wren, American kestrel, wood duck, purple martin, black-capped chickadee, downy woodpecker, eastern screech owl, and tree swallow. Now, the question is, how many eastern screech owls are there in Chicago?
That's a great question.
We need an Audubon person here, I think.
We do. We did work with a lot of different people in putting this together. Audubon was actually one of them. We're not sure about how many, but there is the potential for them to come here, especially when you look at the nesting habitat that's needed. They like forested areas and a relative secluded areas.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they'll more likely be in places like the forest preserves on the edge of the city and maybe some of the bigger parks inland.
Although, you know, it's amazing where birds show up.
Exactly.
If you give them some habitat, I mean, my own yard, when I first moved in the Logan Square neighborhood, it was barren and nothing there. And I've planted a lot of trees and other things, and it's you know, there's no pesticides in my yard. And I'm amazed at the birds that show up, and I don't know where they come. I actually saw a woodpecker there one day, and I couldn't believe it.
That's great.
You just give them a chance with a little bit of habitat, and they will show up. I'll tell you what, hang on, Sarah, just for a second. I'm going to take care of some biz, get right back to you. That's Sarah Abu-Absi, who is with WRD Environmental. She's a consultant for the Chicago Department of the Environment. We're talking about Tweet Home Chicago. If you have an interest in building that very special birdhouse, you should log on and try to be part of the competition. Now, if I asked you what it meant to have the new American lawn in your yard, I hope you'd say that it's a lawn that uses less fertilizer, is drought tolerant, and is more disease and insect resistant. Welcome to the world of Jonathan Green. Their Black Beauty grass seed mixture is a breakthrough in turf grass breeding. It uses tall fescues that are the darkest green turf grasses on the market today. The Jonathan Green perennial grass seed mixtures contain a beneficial fungus called endophytes that are detrimental to above-ground feeding insects and reduce the need for chemical pesticides. Find out for yourself. This weekend, the Jonathan Green people will be at these garden centers this weekend to answer your questions. All day Friday at SIDS in Palos Hills and Saturday morning at SIDS in Bolingbrook, Saturday afternoon and all day Sunday at Wanamakers in Downers Grove, all day Saturday at Alsip Home and Nursery in Frankfort, Illinois, and all day Sunday at Alsip in St. John, Indiana. You can log on to jonathangreen.com and register to receive the Jonathan Green newsletter. Now, as I just mentioned, one of the places you can get this is at SIDS, and as a matter of fact, everything is blooming at SIDS right now, and it's a chance to get your yard and garden in shape. Since there's still a chance of frost, we mentioned this, don't be fooled by 80-degree temperatures. You want to plant pansies because you get fantastic color and they can handle the cold. They're frost-tolerant and they come in a rainbow of colors. And best of all, this week, jumbo 4-inch pansies are half price. You'll get four for just $5. Now is the time to start flowers and vegetables from seed. This is a great family project. If you want to get kids interested in horticulture, plant some seeds. It really does the trick. SIDS has everything you'll need. And if you want to have the best lawn on the block, as I just mentioned, SIDS has fertilizers and weed controls from Jonathan Green, and you can find out this weekend. Talk to the experts there. Get to SIDS for your free customized lawn care plan and make plans to attend one of their free lawn care seminars on Friday or Saturday, April 9th and 10th. You can, if you didn't catch the times that I gave you, I didn't give you times, but they are on SIDSonline.com. Just go to SIDSonline.com. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills and Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard. Back to Sarah Abu-Absi from WRD Environmental, consultant for the Chicago Department of the Environment. So, Sarah, in this Tweet Home Chicago contest, are you allowed to tell me what kind of prizes they're giving out?
Yes, I can. Yeah, we're giving away $500 to the first prize in both the adult and youth categories, and $250 and $150 for second and third.
That's not bad.
Now it's not bad, yes.
And so do you have to build it yourself or just submit a design?
It's design and build.
That's right, design and build. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and we want to let people know that it doesn't necessarily have to be like in a wood shop, you know, with wood. We want people to get creative and use materials that maybe they have lying around that would otherwise go in the trash.
Well, yes, you know, this is reuse, recycle, you know, reuse, recycle. Why not? I think so is there going to be a special prize for someone who has the most creative use of old materials?
We're considering doing prizes for each of the categories, just recognition in each of the categories, but the prizes will be generally overall a combination of all the different judging criteria, which are functional, because we do actually want these to be functional. It's places that birds actually want to live and nest. And sites that
yeah, it would help if they actually want to go in there.
Right, right. And site-specific, like I mentioned before, and made from sustainable materials and aesthetic.
And then these will actually be displayed. Like you said, they're not necessarily going right to use for birds, but
right.
they will be displayed in various places around the city.
Yes, yes. Yeah, we're looking for different museums or other exhibit spaces that would like to exhibit them. We're talking with a few different folks now, but we're still looking for places.
Before I let you go, you also wanted to mention that you're doing something different with rain barrels this year.
Yes.
What's that?
Rain barrels and compost bins. We used to sell them at a subsidized rate, and now we are excited to be shifting that to the private market, and we have talked with several different home improvement stores like Home Depots and Lowe's, as well as local stores that are now stocking them where they didn't before necessarily. So more and more stores are stocking them, and we are offering rebates to people who buy them in Chicago. People who attend a workshop this year will receive $30 rebate form.
And so you actually have to come to the workshop to receive
yep.
your rebate. Well, that makes sense because you want to teach people how to use them properly, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so the idea is you go to a store, you buy your rain barrel or your compost bin, you save the receipt, you come to the workshop, and you'll get, what, $30?
Well, yeah, it can happen in either order, but you go to the workshop, you get the form, and then you send it in, and then you'll get a check for $30 in the mail.
And how is that better than the other? I'm just kind of curious.
We wanted to get away from hauling rain barrels around and selling them, and we wanted to encourage the local market to be able to sell them.
Makes sense to me, yeah.
And now we think it'll be more sustainable in the long term. If more stores are selling them, people will see them when they're out. People can choose the different type of rain barrel or compost bin that works for them because different stores can sell different versions.
Sure.
And now we can focus a little bit more of our efforts on the education piece so people are well informed about how to install them and to use them.
Okay, well, and I'm sure that's on the City of Chicago Department of the Environment website?
Yes, and there's a good, actually, there's a little bit of information now, but the updated information will be there in the next week or so.
Great.
And people can, there's an email address, people can email rainbarrel@cityofchicago.org.
And you can go to cityofchicago.org/environment for all the information, or log on to my website, mikenovak.net. Sarah Abu Absi, thank you so much.
And thank you, Mike.
Good luck on the contest. Well, I will get back to you, and we'll see who won and how they did it, okay?
Great. Okay,
hey,
thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Now, you walk out the door, and your morning is ruined by the sight of your deer or rabbit decimated landscape. Well, you need to go on the offensive. Bonide Repels All is a natural animal repellent that will keep deer, rabbits, skunks, squirrels, chipmunks, raccoons, and more at bay for up to 2 months, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Now, Repels All works three different ways: smell, taste, and as an irritant. Repels All does not have an unpleasant odor, not to you. It will last up to 2 months, and it's rainfast in just 6 hours. You can apply all natural Repels All to trees, shrubs, perennials, even around edible crops, or if you have animals chewing on structures or fences. It's one of the most effective animal repellents you will ever use. Bonide's Repel All is available at these fine stores: Countryside Nursery and Garden Center in Crystal Lake, Golden Gate Nursery in Frankfurt, Gobert's Garden Center in South Barrington, or go to Bonide.com for a dealer near you or to see Bonide's full product listing. All right, we're coming in for a three-point landing. I see Joe Builders hovering outside the door there. We're not going to let him in early, are we?
No, of course not.
I just say
one thing.
Yeah.
It's just a goofy thing that my parents used to always say every Easter morning because my grandpa said it and his dad before that and both.
Lay it on me.
So if I don't say it on the airwaves, my family will be crushed. It's Easter time is the time for eggs, and the time for eggs is Easter time.
Ba-dum-bum.
That's it. There you go, Mom. I love you.
Wow.
This is for my mom and my grandma.
I'm tearing up a little bit here, you know. So.
Well,
and you're off to an Easter egg hunt.
I am off to an Easter egg hunt with my little one.
All right. Well, you have fun. And Mighty House with Ron Cowgill and Joe Builder is next on Soft Serve Sunday. And I hope everybody has a great holiday today. Enjoy the good weather. And I hope you tune in next week once again at 8 a.m. for the Mike Novak Show.